Palm Sunday. Jesus is stepping into the final week where his mission would finally be fulfilled, that he would seek and save the lost. It's the start of Holy Week. It's the start of Passion Week. This is not just a normal week. It's not just another week. This is the week where salvation will be secured once and for all. And Mark 11 gives us a picture and tells us a story of Palm Sunday. Let's read it together, starting in verse 1. As they approached Jerusalem, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you what you're doing, say this, 'The Lord needs it, and I will be back and send it shortly.'" They went and found a colt outside in the street, just as Jesus had said, tied to a doorway. And as they untied it in the middle of grand theft, here we go, some people standing there asked, "What are you doing? Untying the colt." And they answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. How would that go for you? You're at the Galleria, you see the nicest car, you go and grab the door handle, and they go, "Hey, what are you doing?" "The Lord has need of it." Somebody try that. I'm not going to bail you out, but somebody just try that this week. That's exactly what happened. "The Lord has need of it? Take it?" You can't miss what they did here. Everything that we have belongs to God. So when God asks for something, it's not a question of ownership. It's a question of obedience. Will you be obedient unto the Lord? And our response should never be of one of hesitation. It should always be of one immediate obedience. If God's asking you to do something, don't hesitate. Immediately obey what the Lord's asking. Because you cannot say he is the Lord of your life and still hold back things in your life. He either has all of it or none of it. So they get the colt. Verse 7. When they brought the colt to Jesus, and they threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Maybe you have grown up in church and you've heard that. Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest heaven. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And they start laying down their coats and they start laying down these palm branches and they're shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Let's say this together one time, church. Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And Jesus enters into Jerusalem on a donkey. Now, that kind of sounds a little crazy. Why would Jesus come in on a donkey? Well, he's actually fulfilling a 450-year-old prophecy from the book of Zechariah. Let me read it for you. Zechariah 9:9 says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey." Let's get a little bit more specific. A colt. Foal of a donkey. I love how descriptive the Bible is. You see, this moment's beautiful. It looks like worship. It sounds like worship, but something deeper is going on here. Because what makes this week so powerful is not only how the week starts, it's about how quickly this week changes. Same city, same crowd, same people, same voices, different response. Palm Sunday, they're shouting, "Hosanna!" And by the end of the week, one short week later, they're shouting, "Crucify him." This is the week that changed everything. And if we're not careful, it will change us as well. So if you're taking message notes this morning, I encourage you to take notes. The title of this morning's message is "The Week That Changed Everything." We're going to talk about it today. So let me pray for us as we get into this. Lord, we love you. Thank you that you're among us. Thank you that you came to this earth. Lord, may we understand what this week is all about and how it began and how it ended. Lord, would you speak to us today through this message on Palm Sunday? We love you. It's in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Have you ever met anybody famous? I just want to shout, who's the most famous person you've met? Shout it out at me. Come on. Just shout it out. Willie Nelson. Come on. Someone said Snoop Dogg last service. I was like, you win, you know? Now, you might have met somebody you watched on TV, you listened to online, you know, you followed online, maybe someone you looked up to, and then all of a sudden they're right in front of you, like they're there in the flesh, right there. You don't know what to do, you don't know what to say, you get awkward, you don't know what to do with your hands, you know, you're just like, what do I do with these guys, you know? You either talk too much or you don't talk at all. And then you mess it up. You do something stupid, and then you replay it later, usually in the shower. Why is it always in the shower you're replaying those moments going, why did I say that? Why did I do that, you know? Most people, when they meet someone famous, they freeze up. They hesitate. They don't know what to say. They get unsure. They get awkward. I remember I've had the chance to meet a lot of people, but one, when I was writing this message, one memory came to me, and I was probably about 10 years old, and I had the opportunity to meet the great, late Chuck Norris. God rest his soul. Walker, Texas Ranger. I'm from Dallas. They were filming in Dallas, and I was a huge fan. And my mom and I were sitting, eating at California Pizza Kitchen in Dallas, and in walks Chuck Norris. And I was, like, starstruck, right? I was like, I have to go talk to him. My mom's like, super outgoing like me, and she's like, go get him, let's go talk to him. And he starts walking over, and I froze. I could not even move. I couldn't even say hello. I couldn't get up. I wanted to talk to him, wanted to meet with him. I wanted to get an autograph, and I couldn't even get out of my seat. I froze. You want to know what I remember most about that moment? Is how much makeup he had on. Literally, when I think back at that memory, Chuck Norris wore so much makeup. Fun fact. Anyways, I'm going to move on. Means nothing. All right. So what did you do when you met that person? How did it go? Mark 11, we see a group of people who are in this moment of meeting King Jesus. He enters into Jerusalem, the Messiah, the chosen one, the one that they have been waiting on, the one that has been prophesied, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Son of God in the flesh, the famous Jesus Christ. And instead of freezing or hesitating, they respond immediately. They see Jesus coming down, and they go and they cut palm branches. I find this amazing, and they just take these palm branches, and they take their coats, and they lay these palm branches before Jesus. They don't even want the hooves of the donkey to touch the dirt. They're laying their coats down. They're laying these palm branches down. They're creating a path for Jesus. And they begin to shout, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And we read that, we're like, wow, what worship. What a perfect response. I mean, that is worship. That is surrender. That looks right. But then at the end of the week, those same people who were laying palm branches, the same people who were shouting, Hosanna, were saying something completely different. What changed? What changed in the course of the week? I want to give you three realities from Palm Sunday. Three things that we can see in this moment that didn't just shape the week, but that changed everything. Here's the first thing. These people, they said the right thing, but they wanted the wrong thing. It was something totally different that they wanted other than what they said. You got to picture this moment. The crowd is shouting, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. What a beautiful picture. But what was really going on? They were praising Jesus in a single moment the way that they should have been praising Jesus his entire life. Isn't it funny that people praise Jesus when they want something, but they fail to praise Jesus when they don't need anything. I mean, we shouldn't praise Jesus for what he's going to do for us. We should praise Jesus for who he is. I just wonder how our praise would change this morning if Jesus himself walked into the room. What would change in you if Jesus just walked into the room? Because every Sunday morning, he's here. And this is usually our posture. Just lackadaisical and chill. And we're here to worship the King of Kings, and we're just like this. Would that be our response if Jesus came in the room? Or would we just praise you, Jesus? Get on our knees, lift our hands, our voice gets louder, praises come out of our mouth. How would you react? How would your praises change if Jesus walked into the room this morning? This day, laying palm branches down, this was behavior worthy only for a king. They were laying everything before the king. I want you to think about this. They took their coats off. A coat, it's what covered them. It means more than what a coat means today. A coat would protect them. A coat would bring them warmth. It would bring them security. A coat would bring them comfort. And almost everybody had a coat that was significant to them. Their coat became their identity. This was everything to them. And they see Jesus coming. And they take off their comfort. They take off their identity. They take off what's familiar to them. And they lay it on the floor before Jesus. They shouted, "Hosanna! Hosanna! I lay my life down before you. Praise be to you. Hosanna." Now, when they said Hosanna, everybody would have known what they were referring to. They were referring to that Zechariah 9 passage that we just read. And they would have understood that they were in the middle of this moment. They've heard and read about the prophesied King of Kings, the Messiah who is going to come and save the world. They would have understood they were in the middle of a prophecy being fulfilled. So here's the prophecy that we see about Palm Sunday in Psalm 118. They would have known and understood they're in the middle of this moment. Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord, we bless you. The people were quoting and understanding this scripture that Jesus was fulfilling. Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They're shouting this before Jesus. And the Pharisees couldn't stand it. They came to Jesus and they said, "Hey, Jesus, tell everybody to stop. Tell everybody to stop praising you. Quiet the crowd. Shut this thing down." And I love the response of Jesus. Because they're saying, "Hosanna." Pharisees are saying, "Shut up." And Jesus is saying in Luke 19:40, he says, "If I do that, what you're asking me to do, even the rocks will cry out." In other words, God is so worthy of praise that creation itself will step in if people remain silent. Because creation was created to worship the Creator. So don't miss this, church. I want you to hear me on this. Don't let a rock take your place. As I was preparing this message, I had this thought. It's interesting that these devices that we're on every day, iPads, computers, TVs, phones, you know what these are made of? Oil, minerals, rocks. All made from the ground. And these same devices are playing music. They're playing worship. Creation is already do what it was designed to do. The rocks are already crying out. The question is, are you? Are we giving God the praises that he is worthy of? Or are you allowing your devices to do it for you? So I want to talk more about this word Hosanna. Or Hosanna. You have to understand what this word means. We hear it, we sing it, we say it, but we treat it like any other word. And for most of us, we just think it means praise the Lord or hallelujah, hallelujah, Hosanna, close enough. I think he's misunderstanding it. We'll just say the same thing, right? It's different. It's a totally different thing. Hallelujah, we say that, is a praise. Hallelujah. Hosanna is a cry. It's not a praise. It's a cry. Hosanna means to save us, rescue us, deliver us. It's not worship. It's a plea. It's a beg. It's not celebration. It's desperation. So I did some research on this word. I'm going to go a little deeper on this word for a moment. The Hebrew root behind the word comes from the verb yasha. Say yasha. Yasha means to save, to rescue, to deliver. Then you have the second part of the word ana. It means this. Say ana. It means to beg, beseech, or to ask or pray. So you put it together. The word is yasha ana. Yasha ana. In the English, we say Hosanna. Hosanna. And this is what Hosanna means. I beg you to save. Please deliver us. So the crowd is shouting, Hosanna. I'm in Texas. I say Hosanna. Hosanna. They're not praising Jesus. They're crying out to him. Save us. Rescue us. Deliver us. Redeem us. Let me take it one step further. Don't miss this. The name Jesus in the Hebrew is the word Yeshua. Say Yeshua. Yeshua. It comes from the same root word of Yasha. So Jesus is Yeshua, which means this. The cry that they were shouting was connected to the name that he carried. They were saying, save us, to the only one who could. Because Jesus came to Yasha. Jesus came to save you. Jesus came to rescue you. Jesus came to deliver you. And Palm Sunday is a chance to remember that. That Yeshua came to earth to save us, to rescue us, to deliver us. Is anybody excited about that, church? Hosanna, it's not just a word. It's a cry of dependence. It's a declaration. I can't save myself. I'm in need of a Savior. But here's the problem with us today. We still say Hosanna, but we don't say it to Jesus. We say Hosanna, come save us. We save it to our money. We say it to our success. We say it to our relationships. We cry out to things other than Jesus. But there's only one who can save. There's only one who can rescue. There's only one who can deliver, and his name is Jesus. Jesus did not come to improve your life. He came to save your soul. So when they shouted, Hosanna, they were saying the right thing to the right person, but had the wrong definition. They didn't know what they were saying. And I want to talk about that in the next point. Here's the next point as we jump into this, continue through it. The first thing, they said the right thing but wanted the wrong thing. Here's the second point. They saw Jesus but could not recognize Jesus. Here we have a coatless crowd waving palm branches, shouting Hosanna. Everything on the outside looks right, but the motivation underneath was off. They were doing all the right things. But they were doing the right things for the wrong reasons. And Jesus saw that. He knew what was going on in the hearts of these people. He knew that they were missing it. And the Bible says that Jesus began to weep. Verse 41 of Luke 19, as he approached Jerusalem, he saw the city, he wept over it. Because he knew their hearts. And he said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. You did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. Let that not be said about us. The only one who could fix everything was standing right in front of them, and they missed him. They saw him, they celebrate him, but they refused to receive him. You see, you can be around Jesus and still be far from Jesus. You can come in here and see Jesus and not recognize Jesus. You can be all around Jesus and still be far from Jesus. You can sit in a church like this week in and week out and hear the word, lift your hands and worship, and yet not actually know Jesus. And that's the danger. You can celebrate what God is doing around you and still missing what God wants to do inside you. And that's the tension of Palm Sunday. Everything looks right on the outside, but internally, they're disconnected from what God was actually doing. You have to understand what these people were living under, the conditions that they were facing. This wasn't a free nation. This was a Roman occupation. They were under heavy taxation, Roman soldiers everywhere, no real freedom, no control of their own future. They had to answer to a government that didn't share the same values, didn't honor the same God, and didn't care about their race. If a Roman soldier came to them and told them to carry their armor, they had to do it. If they demanded something from them, they had to give it. If they wanted your land, they wanted your resources, they wanted your money, they would just take it. They were oppressed. They were frustrated. They were waiting. They were waiting on a Messiah who would come in power, who would overthrow Rome, who would restore Israel, who would fix everything. And then Jesus rides in on a donkey. And they think, this is it. This is the moment. This is the king who would change everything. But they misunderstood him. Because they wanted peace around them when Jesus came to bring peace within them. They wanted change of their circumstances when Jesus came to change the condition of their hearts. They wanted a different world when Jesus came to give them a new heart. They wanted external freedom when Jesus came to bring internal transformation. And because of that, they missed him. They were so focused on what Jesus would do for them that they missed who he came to be for. And if we're not careful, we can do the exact same thing. Jesus, we got a war going on, fix it. Jesus, I'm in financial ruins, fix it. Jesus, I have tension in relationships, fix it. I have problems at work, fix it. My marriage is on the rocks, fix it. We want Jesus to fix everything around us while resisting what he wants to change within us. But Jesus didn't come to make your life better. He came to make you new. So let me say it this way. They were close to the moment, but disconnected from the meaning of the moment. Close to the miracle of Jesus, but disconnected from the mission of Jesus. They were close to the Savior, but disconnected from surrender. Listen, church, Palm Sunday message, here it is. Don't miss him. Don't miss Jesus. You could be tempted to come in here every single week and think it's about the worship or the teaching or the people sitting next to you or the coffee. It's about Jesus. Don't miss Jesus. Because it's possible to be one step away from salvation and still walk away unchanged. And that's what makes this moment so heavy. Because they weren't willfully rejecting him yet. They just misunderstood him. And sometimes misunderstanding Jesus will eventually lead to rejecting Jesus if it's not corrected. So before we move on, you need to ask yourself one question. And think about this. Have I truly recognized Jesus for who he is? Or have I simply reduced Jesus to what I want him to do for me? Because those are two totally separate things. They wanted something different. than the very thing that Jesus came to give them. And because of that, they missed him. So they saw Jesus, but they could not recognize Jesus. Here's the third point for you today. They were moved emotionally, but not changed spiritually. What they shouted at the beginning of the week was far different from what they shouted at the end of the week. Jesus riding in on a donkey, "Hosanna, rescue us, save us." Watch what they said just at the end of the week, Matthew 27:22. This is Pilate. What shall I do to them? Jesus is in chains, he's a prisoner. What should I do with Jesus who's called the Messiah? Pilate asked. And they shouted something totally different than Hosanna. They shouted, "Crucify him." Why? What has he done? He hasn't committed a crime, asked Pilate. He's asking them a question, and they shouted all the louder, "Murder him, kill him, crucify him." I mean, Pilate was the authority. He could find no fault on Jesus. What has he done? And the crowds just answer, "Crucify him." That's not an answer to a question. That's a demand. Jesus did nothing, and they knew that. But because they could not see what Jesus was really doing spiritually, they wanted him dead because he did not do what they wanted him to do. Same crowd, same voices, different response. What changed? Here's what changed. Their expectations were not met. And if we're not careful, when our expectations of Jesus don't meet what we expect him to do, we can change too. Emotion is loud, but it's not loyal. Crowds, they can be passionate, but they're not consistent. You got to hear me, church. If your faith is built on what you expect Jesus to do for you, it will collapse when Jesus does not do what you expected him to do. They praised him, and they thought that he would fix their world. And then he didn't. He did something different. So they rejected him because he did not meet their expectations. When life is good, man, we're all in. God is good all the time, all the time. God is good. What's up? You know, you're like, but then life is hard. You shrink back, kind of hide. And when God moves, performs miracles, we celebrate. God is awesome. And then you don't see it. You feel like God is silent. You're like, is God even real? That's why this week matters. Because it forces a decision within you. Not will you praise him, but will you follow him? Will you trust Jesus when your life does not make sense? So they begin to raise their voices, crucify him. Their tune changed. It went from Hosanna to kill him. Have you ever noticed how people in your life often change? Like one day you have people singing your praises, and then the next day they're trying to crucify you. Anybody else? I feel that. Nobody? Nobody? Let us not be that people who so easily change our tune. Especially when it comes to Jesus. Can I just take you back to the moment that you were saved, the moment that you gave Jesus your life, the moment that you trusted him with your future? Just go back to that moment. Maybe it was last week, maybe it was 30 years ago. But for those of you who have been following Jesus, have committed your life to Jesus, do you remember in the beginning how taken you were with him? Do you remember how much you loved him? Do you remember how much you needed that salvation? How much you needed the freedom in that moment? And he did it. He gave it. Sometimes, if we're not careful, our tune begins to change over time. We're not as grateful as we once were. We're not as thankful as we used to be. We're not as love with Jesus as we once were. How's your love for Jesus today? In Revelation, Jesus makes this statement. He says, you've lost your first love. First love being Jesus. You've fallen out of love with Jesus. Church, don't lose your first love. Don't change your tune. Stay engaged. Stay in love. Stay in pursuit of Jesus. They take their coats, what's precious to them, what's comfortable to them. It's an identity. And they lay it before Jesus. Church, if you're going to follow Jesus, you have to be prepared to lay something down before him. Because you can't follow Jesus without laying something down. It's just not how it works. We lay down our sin. We lay down our shame. We lay down our pride. We lay down our offense. And here's something about surrender. When you surrender it, you can't pick it back up. I can't pick the coat back up. You can't pick that shame back up. You can't pick that sin back up. You can't pick that offense back up. You've laid it down. The Bible says, I've died to sin. How can I live in it any longer? It's buried. That's what we do at baptism, by the way. We bury it. You can't pick it back up. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. He is the one who can save, rescue, and deliver. Don't be moved emotionally and refuse to change spiritually. Palm Sunday, it's an opportunity and a reminder for us to allow Jesus into the deepest and darkest areas of our life. So real quickly, I want to close with three quick application points for you, how we can take Palm Sunday from here forward. First, welcome Jesus as Savior, not just as a solution. We're not here to use Jesus. We're here to surrender to Jesus. He came to seek and save the lost, not manage your life, not tweak your life, not make your life slightly better than it was yesterday. He came to save your life, to rescue you from sin, to pull you out of darkness, to give you a completely new life. So don't reduce Jesus to a life upgrade. He is our Savior, and that demands a response. So I'm asking, church, will you surrender to him today? Fully, not partially. Fully. Not when it's convenient, fully. Full surrender. Here's the second thing. Follow him fully, not emotionally. You see, half commitment creates full frustration. We like to have one foot in the world, one foot in sin, and one foot in Jesus. This is a very frustrating place to be. You're back and forth. You're in, you're out. You're hot, you're cold. That kind of life does not work, and it's frustrating. You were not designed to live divided. Serving Jesus is not hard. Divided loyalty is hard. Trying to follow him and still holding on to something else, that's exhausting. So make a decision today, church. Stop living a split life, a divided life. Stop playing both sides. Surrender to Jesus fully. Here's the third thing. Close it with this. Don't change your tune. Don't change your tune. You've lost your first love, Revelation says. Remember that tune you were singing. The gratitude, the hunger, the desire, the surrender, the desperation for Jesus. You didn't have to be convinced. You didn't have to be manipulated. You didn't have to be pushed. You were all in. Don't lose that. Don't drift from that. Don't let routine replace relationship. Don't let pressure change your position. Because the same Jesus who was worthy then is the same Jesus who's worthy today. So go back, not for a moment, but for a posture. Fall in love again with Jesus and don't change your tune. This is the week that changed everything. Palm Sunday starts with praise. Good Friday, we see a cross. And next Sunday brings us to the empty grave, Resurrection Sunday. But before we get to that empty tomb, we got to deal with this question. It's Holy Week. God is speaking to us. Here's the question I want you to wrestle with as I dismiss you today. Will you recognize Him for who He is? Or will you reduce Him to what you want? Because you can be in the crowd and still miss the Savior. Today is not about celebrating this moment. It's about making a decision right where you are today. This is not about religion or church attendance or doing what you think is right. But have you actually surrendered your life to Jesus? Because He didn't come just to be a part of your story. He came to be your Savior. And this week, Holy Week, is the week that changed everything. And the question for you today is, has it changed